You are welcome to Faith to Faith broadcast. Enjoy the dynamic teaching ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the President of Renaissance Assembly Incorporated. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Taking the message of faith around the world by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hear the call. Seize the moments. Fight the fights. See the vision. Seize the moment. Take your place. Fulfill the tasks. Seize the moment. Finish the course. All things are yours. All things are possible. Tarry not. This is the appointed time. These are your inheritance moments. Time for new beginnings, multiple accomplishments, and everlasting harvest. Keep your clouds full of rain. Let it rain. Take the good news everywhere, in season and out of season. Extend, expand, and establish. Hold on. Then rise. Did you hear that? Hold on. Extend, expand, and establish. I thought it was finished. He said, after that, then rise, shine, and reign. Let Christ be Lord to you. Let Christ be Lord through you. You will hear good news and see good things. Welcome to good things.
Father, we give you praise. We bless your name. Thank you for the privilege we have to sit under the word and to drink from the Spirit. Let this session be the session for somebody. Let questions be answered. Let doubts dissolve. In the name of Jesus. And let the people of God say aloud, Amen. Amen. Glory. Glory. All right. In the morning sessions, I've been taking a path. So today, I'm going to title what I'm sharing with you, The Doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. The doctrine of Christ. Right from the minister's session, we had been touching on this. And more than ever, it is important that the child of God is clear about the convictions he carries or she carries. Paul was very concerned. And in Galatians 3, verse 1, he wrote to the Galatians to show you his concern. He said, Oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth? Now, in this generation, Jesus Christ has to be what? Evidently set forth, crucified among us. I like to read it in the Amplified Version so you understand what it means, evidently set forth as crucified among you. He said, Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians, who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was what? Openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. That means when Paul taught about the death and the sacrifice of Jesus, he painted the picture in their hearts like they were there. Yet, they heard the podcast and they were confused. Amen. So he said, who bewitched you? That means that the believer can be bewitched, manipulated to begin to believe something else that he's not supposed to believe. And we have light to liberate this bewitched generation. And that's why we're talking about what we call the doctrine of Christ. What is the revelation? What is the body of truth? That Christ wanted to share and wants all of us to hold on to. My opening text will be from 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Someone say, okay, but I thought you quoted a scripture. That was just by the way. This is my opening text. Amen. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, can you read with me? Want to go? Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's what we'll do when we go back from conversion. Anybody that does not bring this doctrine, I will not receive it into my house. I will not even say, bye, have a good night. No, you can't have a good night. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? No. That it is that serious. And I quoted the scripture in one of the meetings, and I said, who is talking? John, the love apostle. The apostle with the revelation of love is telling you who not to greet. Amen. Are you listening to me? Making you understand that the issue of doctrine is not a side issue. It's a major issue. But let's go back to verse 9. In verse 9, it says there, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not. That means that we're supposed to abide, dwell in it, stay in the doctrine of Christ. Whoever he was talking to knew what he meant by the doctrine of Christ. Because there's no place where he explained what exactly it is. So it means that they know what he's talking about. Everyone that does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. Strong statements. So for us now, the question is, what is that doctrine of Christ? What makes up the doctrine? Because he didn't say doctrines. It was in plural. He was talking about something that looked like a module, a man, that had been delivered. That is why when you see in scriptures, and you see, this thought is consistent. This is John speaking. When Paul was talking about it, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Paul, believing that he's the one that wrote Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 said, therefore, now, of course, when someone starts by therefore, it means he had said something before. All right, but he said, therefore, leaving the principles of what? He comes again to say what? The doctrine of Christ. So, even Paul knew that doctrine of Christ that John was talking about. Amen. Paul understood that doctrine of Christ that John was talking about. And so today, you too need to understand the doctrine of Christ that John was talking about and Paul was talking about. Hallelujah. So he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Perfection is not different from the doctrine of Christ. I will explain what he's saying. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Pause. He's saying that the principles, everybody say principles. The principle, the Greek word there is the beginnings. The first introductory ideas, amen, of the doctrine of Christ. So in the doctrine of Christ, there are the principles and there are the perfections. Are you with me? in that principle of Christ, there are the things referred to as the principles. And then there is a place called the perfections. So he said, now we are in the doctrine of Christ, but we started you out with the principles. Let's go on toward perfection. Glory to God. You know, he was really concerned, whoever he was writing to. So there's such a thing as the principles of doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. That means there are the ABCs. Are you with me? The ABCs of the doctrine of Christ. The basics that everybody should understand. And if those basics are in place, you will discover that no matter, I found out that if those basics are in place, you are good. But there are some folks that maybe when they were laying the foundation, they were not really getting it. So 5 years from then, 10 years from the time they laid the foundation, as long as there's a gap, Satan will want to take advantage of that gap that seems to exist. Amen. Because if you look at everything that you call heresy, it is connected to someone that missed the original idea of a foundational truth. Amen. Are you listening to me? For example, there are people that preach what we call universalism. Universalism means that somebody believes that everybody is going to be saved, or everybody is saved. Because Jesus died on the cross, it means everybody is saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. Everybody is not saved. If everybody is saved, why were we instructed to preach? Praise the Lord. If everybody is saved, why were we instructed to preach? The Bible never taught. There was no such idea. But you see, when humans begin to add their own opinions to what God's word had said, or their feelings begin to be added to what the scripture said, that's where there's an issue. Leave the scripture to explain itself. Leave the scripture to defend itself. Amen. Are you with me? Since I mentioned scripture, let me just say this. You see, there's what we call inductive Bible study. There's a way to read your Bible. Glory to God. There's a way to read your Bible. And it's a simple way that will help anyone that's born again. The culture of reading your Bible regularly is important. But how are you reading your Bible? There are three rules in studying your Bible. Amen. Number one, the rule of observation. Everybody say observation. Observation. Observation means, what does the text say? What does the text say? What I'm reading, what does it say? What does it say? Observation. Who was saying? To whom was it said? Why? Where? When? Amen. All of that. The five W's and H. Amen. Questions they ask in journalism. You ask those questions around the text. Who was speaking? To whom was he speaking? When? Why? Where? All of that is the principle of observation. Amen. Observation. Observation. So, in observation, it's what you are looking at that you're observing. You're not observing something else. You're not adding what you had observed to what you are observing. Amen. No. Stay. What does the text say? That's the first principle. Amen. Number two, the principle of interpretation. In theology, they have what they call hermeneutics. But let's not go that far. Just the principle of interpretation. And I think a lot of times, if your observation is wrong, your interpretation will be wrong. Amen. If your observation is inaccurate, your interpretation will also be inaccurate. Because this thing about conviction, what's something you believe, it is a combination of premise and conclusion. That means that there's something, there are foundational thoughts, then there is a final statement of fact to you about that matter. So if the premise is wrong, your conclusion will be wrong. Are you with me? Am I too fast? Okay. So observation, then interpretation. Interpretation is, what does the text mean? Praise the Lord. That's what interpretation means. What does it mean? What does it mean? Now I have observed what it said. Now, what does it mean? And its meaning is where we now have context. Amen. Are we together? Context. That has been an issue. I believe that we'll create platforms to talk more on that. Context. Remember yesterday or thereabout, I mentioned that when you come to talk about context, this context in scripture is not just literary and grammatical context. Because this Bible is not different thoughts put together. It is one revelation. Are you listening to me? The Bible is one revelation. The revelation of God to man. What is the Bible? What is scripture? Scripture is the revelation of God to man. That means God revealing himself to man through the scriptures. And then he's also revealing the origin, the purpose, and the future of man to himself. Man doesn't know his origin apart from scripture. Hallelujah. Man doesn't even know his purpose apart from scripture. Man doesn't know his future apart from scripture. Hallelujah. So the entire document is God's revelation to man. So when you see the Bible as one book, amen, it changes the story. So when we say context, context cannot just be literary and grammatical. It has to be in the context of the entire revelation of God to man. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And that's why we talk about the fact that in interpreting scriptures, that there are different layers of interpretation. The first is that there's a simple interpretation of what the direct application of that scripture. Do you know that if a scripture, for example, says, I can't think of a scripture right now, you know, maybe even the scripture you talk about for, what's the one that talks about Isaiah 8? A child is, no, not Isaiah 9, the one that talks about Emmanuel, his name, behold, the virgin shall be with child. Eh? You know? A virgin shall be with child. No, this is Isaiah 9. A virgin shall be with child. Alright? And then that scripture, for example, in the context of what they were saying, likely somebody gave birth that time. Amen. Are we together? You see, there are some statements that the prophet makes. And that's why they, permit me to just say this, the law of double application. There are times where a prophetic word is spoken, it's applying to something that's happening at that time and also applying to something that's going to happen in the future. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? So, in scriptural interpretation, context, it's not just what was said in that portion. Because when we read the New Testament, we see a lot of scriptures that were quoted. If you are to question, you will say it's out of context. Hello? Because if not the way Paul explained it, you won't know that when you read it in the Old Testament, that was what it was talking about. Amen. Are you with me? You won't know that's what it was talking about. And there are several scriptures like that. Several. So Paul comes to tell us that when he's writing in 1 Corinthians 14, he now gets to a point, he said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue." That scripture he's quoting is in Isaiah 9 to 11. All right? Where the scripture says that, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people." When you read the scripture, he was talking to a group of people. Amen. Now, Paul now brings out the hidden meaning in 1 Corinthians to say that statement is talking about tongues. Are you listening to me? So, in every scripture, that's what makes the scripture prophetic. There is a direct meaning. There is a hinted meaning. There's a conceptual meaning. And there is a hidden meaning. It's the Holy Ghost that shows men the hidden meaning. Are you with me? Yeah. So, Jonah was swallowed up. We talked about Jonah yesterday, Pastor Belema, and we talked about Jonah. Amen. We talked about Jonah yesterday. Amen. That Jonah was swallowed by a fish. The hidden meaning of that, it was in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, we saw it. That God was saying that that is the same way Jesus will be in the belly of the fish. Now, when Jonah was swallowed up, nobody thought of Jesus. Amen. That generation didn't know what it meant. Glory to God. I don't think even Jonah at the beginning understood what it meant. But God had chosen him as a sign. Are you with me? When Simon answered the question Jesus asked, whom do men say that I am? And then he said, thou art the Christ. He didn't say, wow, you have studied very well and seen it. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father. That means you have seen the hidden meaning. Are you with me? That means this thing that you know is the Holy Ghost that made you know it. That means that as we read scriptures, one of the confident things you must have is that this word of truth, there is a spirit behind the word of truth. Are you with me? I've gone out of where I wanted to talk. So, back to where we were. Glory to God. Observation. Is that where we were? Interpretation, the second rule. Interpretation in context. Alright? So, that interpretation is where many people miss it. Because the way you interpret scriptures will make your conclusion right or wrong. Yesterday, I explained the scripture to you in John chapter 3, verse 13. Remember the scripture? 13? Is it 13 or 14 now? I think it was 14. Okay, 13. Thank you. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, how do you interpret this scripture? Somebody interpreted it to say that this means that everybody that died, hello, nobody went to heaven. Then we say, what about Enoch and Elijah? I say, no. In short, Enoch and Elijah, they didn't go to heaven. That the scripture made a mistake. Because the interpretation of this scripture is wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. The interpretation of this scripture is wrong. And yesterday I took time to explain it. What he's talking about. That no man on his own had climbed into heaven. Everybody that went was taken into heaven. Jesus is the only one by himself. Nobody took him. He went by himself. Amen. So interpretation. Interpretation now brings clarity. Is that not so? Okay. So interpretation is the second thing. Then the third and the final principle of inductive Bible study is application. There was application. What does application mean? It means, based on what the text is saying and what the text means, what should I do? How does it apply to me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Based on what the text is saying and what it means, how does it apply to me today? So if you read your Bible, after reading your Bible, you now went and took a goat and cut the throat and poured blood in your house. That means that the application is wrong. Because likely an interpretation you got was wrong. Because the revelation can never bring you to a place to do animal sacrifice. Now, there are certain things that application can make people do that might not be correct, but God will just leave them. Hello? But you will outgrow it. Why is that so? Because there's a gap sometimes. And the gap is in the area of prophetic guidance. What am I talking about? Jesus Christ one day got a guy, took the soil, spat in it, and applied on his eyes. There is no... What's the reference? Amen. Amen. Hello. That was a prophetic act. He was actually proving I'm the creator. That the same dust of which you are made and the life that is in me, I put in this dust and I put back. The same thing. That's what he was doing there. But now, he didn't say everybody that meets a blind man, you should take dust and spit in it. Are you with me? That act was prophetic. Obviously. Likely, that's how he was led to do it. Amen. So because of the prophetic in our lives, there are some things that someone would do that we might not be quick to judge. Amen. Are you listening to me? Okay. So now, you see a case where the Bible told us that Paul, the apostle, you find it in the book of Acts, took a vow and shaved his hair. Why? Praise the Lord. Didn't explain to us. But he took a vow and shaved it. That likely was something personal to him. We don't know why. I'm going to ask him, why he cut your hair? What happened? He didn't say you should do the same. Are you with me? So, that's why you see somebody sometimes, you know, he's praying. Then he comes outside his house and shouts hallelujah 7 times and runs back into his house. He said, they don't they mad though. That could be prophetic. Amen. But in that area of prophetic, what makes you not enter into extremism is the balance of the word of God you have in you. For example, there are people that the way they believe to use oil. Alright? Oil. Is that they drink it. There's no scripture that says you should drink it. Amen. But I could agree that somebody on a personal note, that maybe that's how he was led. Glory to God. That's what will make him believe that he has acted in faith. But if I was pastoring you, I would say, my brother, stop drinking. We don't know what they mix inside that thing. Amen. There is fake Goya now. They are the ones you will drink, you will be high. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me? So, but somebody could say, oh, you know, I've heard of cases where, oh, they say they took the oil and put it inside their eye and put it in their body. The scripture didn't say you should do that. In the scriptural use of oil, James was the one that talked about it in the New Testament, meaning that it was still permitted. Hallelujah. Are we together? But greater light makes us know that that oil is symbolic of the anointing. Amen. Of the power of God. Of the Spirit of God. Amen. Are you with me? So, your interpretation determines your application. There are some people that the way they apply the blood of Jesus might not be that the scripture said you should do it that way. The major way that the New Testament tells us to apply the blood is through the communion. Amen. It's through the communion. It's not to put water inside cup and be sure, blood. No. The original is communion. But somebody decides that he's feeling that the village will have sent people something. And he wants to do something. And he fills a bucket of water. And decides that the water has turned to blood. Now, I know that in that case, the juju of his grandfather, he has added it in with the revelation of the blood. Amen. Are you listening to me? He will grow up. Glory to God. He will grow up. See, one of the greatest things about being born again is this. What are the principles of this doctrine of Christ? Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Then he says the first thing. Not laying again what? The foundation of what? Of repentance from dead works. Do you know what that foundation is? Repentance means turning away from rituals. Dead works are the things they don't, those things don't work, but you believe them. Amen. So that's the first thing. That when you get born again, God starts teaching you to turn away from all those rituals. So you don't have to drink it to receive it. Amen. Are you with me? It's a foundation that has to be laid in your life. You don't have to carry a cloth on your way, on your, anytime you're traveling. Say, ah, where's that cloth I took to convention? You bring it out and put on the, you are driving alone, you put it in the chair, the Holy Ghost is sitting down with me. Are you understanding me? Now, God understands that you are trying to express your faith with physical things that you can see. Amen. But part of Christian growth and development is that you start coming to a place where you, by faith, believe that Christ is in your heart. Okay. Go to Ephesians 3. Let me show you something. In Ephesians 3, should I start from verse 9, 8 or 9? The prayer of Paul. 8, 9, 10. Am I correct? Just from 10, let's read down. I just want to pick one line. Keep going. 11, 12, keep going. I'll tell you where to stop. Go. I think it's 16 or so. Go. Uh-huh. 17. Good. Go to 16 and then read down to 17. I just want to show you something here. He said, pray that he will grant you. It's a prayer. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man. Then the next prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, not by your feelings, but by your faith. Is a prayer. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Are you seeing it? That is repentance from dead works. You are turning away from. Do you know that that prescription James gave for anointing with oil is for the one that is still a growing Christian? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Amen. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. He didn't say anointing oil. He said no. Today in English, I say rubbing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what he was saying. Smearing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Are you with me? So that oil is different from the one you rubbed in your, when you were taking your bath, some of you now, you rubbed cream. It was not in the name of the Lord. But now, cream this guy in the name of the Lord. Amen. Aha, you get it? So let the elder cream him in the name of the Lord. And then while he's creaming him, it's not the cream that will heal him. It's the prayer of faith that will save him. But he needs the cream to release his faith. So, if you have to rub his stomach, rub it. You have to rub his head, rub it. But it is for that one that needs the elder to come. And to make you understand that actually there is also condemnation. That's why he's not able to pray for himself. Put up the scripture you just put up now. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he have committed sins, as you are praying for him, they shall be forgiven him. Did you see that? That means that you are also dealing with the condemnation that is dealing with as you're there. That looks like someone that is still trying to grow in his faith. Amen. I don't know how we got here. So repentance from dead works. Amen. Repentance from dead works. So we are turning away from those things that we must touch or feel before we believe. We start coming to a place where we believe because the word of God said so. Amen. The word of God says so I believe it. We start learning how to develop conviction, stay with God's word, and not needing physical evidence to believe what God's word has said. So, go back. Observation, interpretation, application. It's in this area of application that sometimes you see people do bizarre things. And the reason is the way they interpreted it. Glory to God. For example, some people, if they want to pray for a group of people, or they want to bless their community, they believe that they must go to the community and dig the ground and remove something. Are you with me? Now, you don't have to do that. Glory to God. But if that's the way you are convinced that you believe it has worked, please stay with your faith. Are you listening to me? Let me explain what I mean. I've been to places where the Lord had instructed me to use material mediums to help people express their faith. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah, I've been in places like that. So I give an example where I went to pray for a lady, and they've been through a lot, you know, they've had debts, and there was a lot of fear, but they want me to pray for a premise, a place. So when I arrived, I know that the only way she will release her faith for what we have praying for is if there's something that she can see. So I said, bring water, pour it round. And I said, I'm using that water as a means. Amen. Are you with me? Now, that's not what I normally would do on my own. But, man, you needed to see that after I had left, she knows that God visited her that day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? I'm just trying to establish something. Now, so, Bible study. And I entered Bible study as a side issue. That's not my main talk. Alright? So, scriptural. So, did you get that? How to study your Bible? You got that? Alright. So, we go back to where we were. That doctrine of Christ. What are we talking about? The doctrine of Christ. Why is that important? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read verse 14. Praise the Lord. Are you following? In Ephesians 4, 14, the question to ask from after reading scripture, I'll ask those questions. Let's read together. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now the point here is that God doesn't want us to remain children. That means children are the ones that are tossed to and fro by wind of doctrine. Children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Children talked about here is not biological or physical. No. It's talking about spiritually. Some people are still infants. And that's why they are tossed what? To and fro by every wind of doctrine. So someone say, I've gotten revelation. I don't need to worship again. I've got a revelation. I don't need to give again. I don't tithe again because I've got a revelation. I've got a revelation. I don't go to church again. What kind of revelation is that? Is it darkness you are getting or is light? Amen. Why are you carried by that doctrine? A man met me one time. I've known him for years. And he was doing well. And so he met me and said, that he has gotten a new light. I said, what? So he said that he has found out that he doesn't need to tithe. So I asked him, I said, all the time you were tithing, did anything spoil? I said, no. I said, why do you want to experiment with your destiny? Why? Do you know there are some people that are in error, but God gives them room to repent? Room to repent means that for the first few months or years, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing wrong will happen. It won't look like. It's just like if you cut off a leaf from a tree. It doesn't dry up immediately. It doesn't dry up immediately. It might be looking fresh. It might even be looking greener. But it is cut off. So don't say, what about this? What about that? What about that? You know, sometimes when you are looking for something to validate foolishness, you understand that? What about this? What about that? What about that? And there are so many things that people say. It is really surprising. So let me go to what I want. So, why do people get tossed to and fro? Number one, because of spiritual immaturity. Everybody say spiritual immaturity. That means that the Bible said they are still children. tossed to and fro. No more be children. That means spiritual immaturity can make you to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Spiritual immaturity. Spiritual maturity might not be your fault, because you cannot be more mature than how long you got born again. Amen. So if you just got born again, and that's why we as Christians, believers, we must take responsibility for those that just got born again around us. Amen. People that just got born again around you, don't just let them do what they feel like doing. Guide them in the light. Amen. That's discipleship. Helping another believer grow. Not doing things that will make them stumble in their faith. Number two reason why people are carried away: spiritual sensationalism. The first one is spiritual immaturity. Spiritual sensationalism. What do I mean? There are people that are, they have extra biblical expectations. And if you are that kind of person, you'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Glory to God. You'll be tossed what? To and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's a scripture I should read to you. It's in the book of Acts 17. In Acts 17, I see two different characters in one chapter. I see a group in verse 11, and I see another group in verse 20. I have to look for it, sorry. In verse 21. 20 and 21. What's the first one I said? 11, right? Okay, so let's look at the 20 and 21 group first before we come to 11. 20 and 21. Two groups in the same chapter. This group, 20 please, and 21. Paul went to this place, Athens. And then that's the story of Mars Hill. You know the story in Acts 17. He said, "For thou bringest certain strange doctrines to our ears." When Paul finished preaching, "we will know therefore what these things mean." Then what the Bible said in verse 21. "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but in either to tell or to hear something new." Is it a new revelation? Yeah. So we have a situation, a generation that they are Athenians. Amen. Athenians. They are always looking for something new. If spiritual sensuality is an infection, is an infection. Spiritual is an infection. If you catch it, it can destroy you. Boom! Once they just see something, you run there. You run there. You run there. There's nothing that you have not drank. Now you don't even know what is wrong with you. Imagine somebody is treating himself for malaria, he's treating himself for this, only him, self-medication. So you'll be tossed to and fro if you are someone that is carried about by sensationalism. So the Athenians, that was their issue. The reason they came to Paul and said, it's like this is something new. Oh yeah, share. He said, that's all they do. Hearing new things and telling new things. Have you not seen people that are born again, but they are searching for truth? They say, the laws, five laws of Moses. There should be a sixth and seventh one. I need to research. And those will never come back. Amen. They never come back. Because when you cross the fifth book of Moses to look for the sixth and seventh, you ain't coming back. Because there is no sixth and seventh. Amen. Glory to God. And there are people like that. I'm not trying to talk down on anybody, because these are people I know. But they might be watching. We've lost someone. The person has gone bonkers. Why? He said,
Paul was too shallow. Apostle Paul. He wants to go deeper than Paul. He had what he called beyond Paul. Paul will tell you, say, out of the abundance of revelation that a messenger of Satan was sent to him. Paul, that told you. Then you say, beyond that one, my brother. Paul told you that to humble him, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. Because of what? The abundance. So Paul will be walking, he'll be saying, light, 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 light. Then you say, beyond Paul. When I was in university, it was a particular time, I was praying some kind of prayers. So I said, Lord, while I was praying, I said, Lord, give me more passion. More passion for this gospel. More passion for souls. I felt the Lord pat me on my shoulder. I said, your passion is enough. And he told me to go to class that day. Hallelujah. So the Athenians were people that were just looking for, they were sensational. But in Acts 17, we now heard about another group they call the Bereans. The Bereans, we look at them in verse 11. If you read, actually maybe I should read 10 and 11, so to give you context, 10 and 11. It said there, and the brethren merely sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So they got to the place. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Amen. And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And so we used to always say that, follow the Berean Christian. Amen. Alright? So they said, but they received the word with readiness of mind. In the same chapter, we had Athenians. So in the same generation, we have Athenians and we have Bereans. Which one are you? Amen. Amen. Which one are you? Glory to God. So, spiritual immaturity, spiritual sensationalism. Number three, spiritual rebellion. Spiritual rebellion. That's what makes you carried by every wind of doctrine. Spiritual rebellion, we're talking about people that lack spiritual guidance. They're trying to function outside the governance structure of Christ through the church. There's a governance structure of Christ in the church. So there are people that don't want to function under that governance structure. So they break out, rebel. And for rebellion opens you up to deceiving spirits. Amen. That's what it does. And so when somebody puts himself in that position, he has to defend his rebellion. And though you are searching scriptures to back up your misbehavior. You know, there are people that are searching scriptures. Oh, no. Somebody married second wife. Third wife. Then he starts looking for scripture. Let's go to Songs of Solomon. You have not read Songs of Solomon since, so it's now you want to read Songs of Solomon. Praise the Lord. You soon sing your own song. Glory to God. So rebellion. I pray that no one here will be subject to rebellion. May the Lord deliver you from rebellion. The Bible called rebellion, it said, is classed as the same sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of, you know, in the Bible, under the law or the Mosaic law, anybody that practices witchcraft should be killed. That's why you hear that saying, suffer not a witch to live. That's where it came from. You know, is that was the law. That's the law. That means that it was against
the practice of spirituality for someone to give himself over to demonic activity. Now, the scripture says that rebellion and witchcraft, they're in the same class. So it's not only suffer not a witch to live. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, this doctrine of Christ, it receives its validation from three sources. The doctrine of Christ receives its validation from three sources. Are you ready for this? Number one, it receives its validation. The doctrine of Christ receives its validation from a document. Everybody say a document. A document. I'll just list the three things and I'll explain them. Number one, a document. Number two, it receives its validation from a ritual. Number three, it receives its validation from a personality. So let me explain. The first thing is that this doctrine of Christ, where does it get validation from? A document. The document is the scripture. Amen. The scripture is the document. The scripture, the word of God is the document. The scripture. That's where it gets its validation from. That's the document. So if you in any way belittle the document, you have belittled the doctrine of Christ. What makes it valid is that document. And the document combines of the Old and New Testament. Amen. Old and New Testament. See it as one. One revelation. Amen. One. I heard some Christians don't read the Old Testament again. I said, then you are not a Christian. Amen. That means they don't even understand the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. I mentioned this to you yesterday. Paul, John, when they were opening scriptures and reading in their congregation, it was not Ephesians they were reading. It's not Romans they were reading. It's not Galatians they were reading. It was the Psalms and the law and the prophets, because at that time, Galatians was still information. Corinthians was still information. Ephesians was still information. Amen. But what happened was that through their work, they validated those other writings as scripture. Do you know why? Listen, we didn't accept Paul's writing because Paul saw Jesus. Paul's not the only one that saw Jesus. Paul is not the only one that saw Jesus. Many people saw Jesus. It's not because he saw Jesus, that's why his writings are in scripture. Let me tell you why his writings are in scripture. Because Peter said his writings are scripture. You didn't hear me well. Second Peter. Let me show you what made us accept that Paul, his writings are scripture. Glory to God. Just a moment, please. In 2 Peter, chapter 3, let me read verse 14 down. I'll read 14 to 16. 2 Peter 3. This is the reason why Paul's writings were scripture. Remember that Paul, first of all, there are two portions of scripture. The other one is that council meeting they had in Acts chapter 16. Amen. Where they now agree that Paul and Barnabas should go to the Gentiles. Amen. That means the apostles that Christ validated, validated Paul. For Paul's writing to be scripture, he had to follow. He said, I went up by revelation. So he went to Peter, John. He went to look for them. And in that meeting, he wrote about it in Galatians. He had to be validated for his writings to be endorsed as scripture. Amen. Are you listening to me? So look at it here. Peter is writing. Remember, Peter has already told us that how did he put it now? He has talked about the more sure word of prophecy, which is scripture. All right?
They are talked about it previous to the prior to this time. Now here he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing, read with me, please. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Verse 16. Listen. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which the some things have to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other, that means this one is part of scripture, the other scriptures unto their own destruction. It is this thing that made us accept Paul as scripture. Validation comes from a place. Christ had to be validated by Abraham, Moses, John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been accepted that he's a prophet. Then John the Baptist validated Christ in the eyes of the people. Then Christ validates John the Baptist. Amen. Are you with me? And then appoints 12 apostles and validates them. Anyone this apostle validated was validated. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. That's how it came up to today. Amen. Glory to God. So are you following this now?
Yes, sir.
So it is because of this scripture that we can say that Paul's writings are also what? Scripture. Peter called it scriptures. Are you being taught? So, I said the doctrine of Christ is validated from three sources. Number one is the documents. The scripture is what the document is the scripture. It validates the doctrine of Christ. The reason why we believe in the doctrine of Christ is because of the scripture. Number two is a ritual. The ritual is the sacrifice of Jesus. Blood was spilled on this earth. So this earth is a witness. Amen. That ritual validates the document. Sorry, validates the doctrine of Christ. If you remove the scripture and remove the ritual, it's just an empty book. Amen. It's just an empty, empty doctrine. What gives substance to it is the prophetic scriptures. What gives substance to it is the ritual of the life of God. And then, number three, the Holy Spirit, the personality. So, this word, that's the scripture, the blood, and the spirit, they agree. They agree. They agree. Are you with me? They agree. They agree. There are some of you here now. Anytime it gets to 12:45, your brain starts shooting. So, work on it. Amen. Make your village people know you shine. For convention. Amen. Amen. No, say no weapon.
No weapon.
Say it again. Say no weapon.
No weapon.
You know that sleep is a weapon. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Glory to God. It's now I want to start the teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, is this making sense? All right. So, I've accepted that I can't finish it in conversion. But we'll go as far as we can go. So this doctrine of Christ is important to ask, what did Peter preach? What did Paul preach? What did John preach? You know, the authors of the New Testament, there are just eight of them. Glory to God. Just eight of them. What did they preach? I've seen people, confuse a generation. And sometimes in trying to be deep, you become complicated. There are some things people say, and I'm like, what? Like, for example, say, well, I don't preach church, I preach kingdom. What do you talk? You know, please don't talk like that. I don't know what you're talking about. What is church? What is kingdom? I don't preach people, I preach humanity. Is this what are you talking? What are you talking? And it's just confusion. Even them, they don't know what they're talking about. They just want to sound somehow. So, I give an example. Oh Lord, should I enter this thing? Amen. Speak in tongues for a minute. Koshime reono sina mahada baraska pratioso. Rebetona mashida bahanda bradoska plediros brigadiatos. Le prende ke plato she preti anda bradaska prados brigadiata. Roberto Celebrondo Brigadier Talabacatos Brigadiate. Zeprendo Coproto Celebrondo Brigadier Talabaros Brigadiatos. Zeprendo Coproto Celebron Brigadier Talabacatios Brigadieros. Le Prete Celebrando Coproto Celebroto Paliros Brigadiata. Zatalabacatonemos Brigadier Telebo Brigadieroso. Zapratoma Lavahanda Brados Capredos Capleros Brigadiatas. Zeprendo Coprato Celebro Brigadiatos Brigadiate. Zepretoma labahanda brados ke pledusha pratona maraga bara bara bragadiatos zeprendo ko protos bragadiata labakato bragadiatos zete degadiata labakatos bragadiata lagadia rasa je pretina nagadia nda labakato bragado bragado bragadiata. In Jesus name, please be careful about complicating simple things. I once heard someone say that there are different gospels. There's the gospel of Christ. There's the gospel of grace. There's the gospel of the kingdom. There's the gospel of my brother. Don't weary the Holy Spirit. Amen. It just occurred to me that that message is over 13 years or 14 years old. I did a series on the gospel a long time ago. I don't know if it's still available. And in that series, I addressed that gospel, good news, there were several other synonyms used to describe the gospel. The gospel was described as the word of truth. The gospel was described as the word of faith. The gospel was described as the word of his grace. The gospel was described as faith. The gospel was described as the message of the cross. The gospel was described, are you with me? In different ways. It's talking about the same thing. Amen. Amen. The same thing. It's not talking about different things. The same thing. So someone says that, there is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I say, it's just like saying there's the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of hell. I don't understand. What are you talking about? And I did a teaching some time ago. Some of you, this thing doesn't mean anything to you. You know, because for you, it doesn't change the price of Indomie for you. But for some people that are hungry Bible scholars, it might just help you to understand that. And that confusion of kingdom of heaven, different from kingdom of God, came from Matthew, Mark, Luke. Amen. Are you with me? That's where it came from. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. Amen. It's the same thing. Where is the confusion? Simple. There are four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right? Four Gospels. In Matthew, the revelation Matthew was bringing is that Christ is the king that Israel has been looking forward to. The political king, leader, that will liberate them from their political struggles. So it presents Jesus as king. Mark wrote about Jesus and presented Jesus as the servant that Isaiah spoke about. That there is a servant of God that will come, amen, and do the bidding of God for Israel. Mark said, this Jesus is that servant. When Luke was writing, Luke presented Jesus as man. Man, hallelujah. The humanity of Christ. So it's only in Luke you see the genealogy of Jesus. Amen. Because he was trying to trace the son of Abraham, the son of this, the son of that. He gave us his genealogy. John was not concerned about genealogy. He was not concerned about servant. He was not concerned about king. He wanted to show you that Jesus is God. So he starts by saying, in the beginning was the word. And the word was God. And the word was God. Summary. Are you with me? So when you are reading Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you must read it in that context. So, Matthew wrote predominantly, and he is writing as a Jew. Praise the Lord. Rather than write the name of God, he would prefer to write heaven. Amen. It's only in Matthew, in the entire Gospels, that phraseology, kingdom of heaven, was used. It was never used in Matthew, in Mark, never used in John, never used in Luke. Amen. Only in Matthew. And everything that Matthew called kingdom of heaven, Luke called it kingdom of God. Mark called it kingdom of God. Meaning it is kingdom of God. But Matthew preferred to use the term kingdom of heaven. So he was not talking about anything different. Is that helping somebody here? So let's land. This doctrine of Christ, when they arrested the disciples and told them not to preach, in the complaint they made, we could tell what the content of that doctrine was. Amen. Acts chapter 5 verse 28. I'll just use one verse to explain it. In Acts 5:28, we see something they were complaining. So in their complaint, we are seeing what was in that doctrine of Christ. Remember that the Bible says that the early church continued in the apostle. What was the apostle? It was the doctrine of Christ. The apostle doctrine was the doctrine that Christ gave them. Then they were preaching. Are you with me? In Renaissance, is that doctrine of Christ we're preaching. Amen. Which they refer to as the apostle's doctrine. In this case, I am the apostle here. So it's the doctrine that I am preaching that Christ gave. So now, what did it contain? Look at the complaint here. Go up a bit. Verse 26 or 27, just to give context. These days I'm explaining scripture because there's many podcasts. Amen. Now, look at it. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. They had arrested these apostles. Then he said, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. Go ahead. Now let's go to 28. Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So it's this doctrine he's angry about. In the doctrine, there are two things that we see. Number one, the name of Jesus is in that doctrine. Number two, the blood of Jesus is in that doctrine. Amen. So anything they're preaching is making like, that means they talk about his sacrifice. And then they're talking about the authority of his name. So he said, hey, this is your doctrine that talks about this name of Jesus. This is your doctrine that talks about this blood of Jesus. Amen. Have we not warned you? You can preach, but don't talk about that thing. So in the doctrine of Christ, we see that his name and his blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in this age, you and I, we must learn the doctrine. Romans 16:17. I have like two or three more scriptures, then we'll be done. Everybody will go and eat Eba. Amen. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine what which ye have learned, and avoid them. This is Paul talking his own. No? Remember John the lover told you that you should not even invite them to your house. Then now Paul tells you, avoid them. Then you are saying, no, we're in this age, we don't shame anybody. We don't... My brother, avoid them. Look at this. Contrary to what? The doctrine which you have learned. That means that the early church had to learn the doctrine. Renaissance Assembly ought to learn the doctrine. Cell leader, learn the doctrine. Teach your brethren the doctrine. Resident pastor, learn the doctrine. General overseer, learn the doctrine. What are you learning? The doctrine of Christ. So, the doctrine of Christ must be learned. That's what I want you to write down. The doctrine of Christ must be learned. It's not something you just know. It has to be learned. You have to learn it. Then, the next thing, Isaiah 28 verse 9. In Isaiah 28 verse 9, it shows us something, although it's in a prophetic scripture. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Second thing, the doctrine of Christ must be understood. Don't just learn and not understand. Do you know it's possible to learn and not understand? Second Timothy talks about that. They say there are people that are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You must understand the doctrine. Amen. All right? So lift your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I make up my mind to learn the doctrine of Christ. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, to understand the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Yeah. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? That means doctrine should be understood. Glory to God. And we must understand it. Understand that difference. The Old Testament, New Testament, we understand it. We understand the deity of Christ. We understand the humanity of Christ. We understand spiritology. We understand the eternal judgment. We understand the resurrection of the dead. We understand it. The third thing to do with this doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself. Read with me, please. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. He said, continue in them. What is it? The doctrine. Ever say the doctrine. It's thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear thee. Did you see that? That means that doctrine must be practiced. That's number three. Doctrine must be learned. Doctrine must be understood. Doctrine must be practiced. The doctrine of Christ must be learned. The doctrine of Christ must be understood. Then we must practice the doctrine. Glory to God. Are you with me? So he said, continue in them. Take heed to the doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this, you will save yourself. That means if we don't practice this doctrine, we will not save ourselves. We will not save those that hear us. Glory to God. Very important. We must understand that. And so this morning, or afternoon now, I want to believe that we've been able to lay a foundation of what it is. And yesterday I talked about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is that the doctrine is healthy for the one that is hearing it. May God shield you from unsound doctrine. May God shield you from doctrines of devils. Amen. May God shield you from the doctrine of Balaam. Amen. Doctrines that make the people of God stumble. Make them begin to be, I said, if any doctrine makes you
to not walk in love towards other brethren, or to be irreverent. That means there is no love or honor in that doctrine. It is not the doctrine of Christ. So any doctrine that tells you that all the men of God, all of them are wrong. All of them are wrong. And brings you to a place when your heart, you start dishonoring ministers of the gospel. Listen, humanity has always been flawed. Amen. Did you hear me? Humanity has always been flawed. The reason why it looks like this now is because there's internet. You are hearing what people are doing in another place. There are people that lived in the day that the Bible talked about that did not know there was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. But Sodom and Gomorrah was active. Active. Active in what they were doing. Wickedness, from the first 1,000 years of man on earth, God was already shocked by the wickedness of man. Read Genesis 6. When he saw that the heart of man was evil continually. Evil continually. It's not today. Genesis, as early as Genesis 6. It never even reached 7. Is that today?
6 years later.
Genesis 6. Wickedness. So don't act like some of the things are just happening now. The church is going wrong. The church is going wrong. The church is not going wrong. The church is waxing strong. Stop all those things. Someone was on social media. He said, no, if it's the church that was preaching the right message, by now Nigeria would have changed. We will not have infidels running the government. Jesus did not even have the privilege of having a Jew lead him. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, the Romans were in charge of his country. Are you not happy that it's a Yoruba man that is ruling us? He's a Nigerian. All through the tenure of Jesus, from when he was born till he died, Jews did not take over the country. But that was the desire of the Jews, to be free. They had what they call zealots. Now when they first saw Jesus, they thought he was going to be the one to free them. So stop bringing your political opinions into what was happening here. If Jesus could not remove APC, what's my business? Amen. Because that shows that was not his focus. Amen. I'm bringing your attention to this. That Jesus, 33 and a half years, he walked the face of this earth. From the when he was born, it's not because of the kind of government that they took him and ran to Egypt for him to wait until somebody died. Then they brought him back. Amen. But the government was not the government of the Jews. You think Jesus liked it? He was not happy that he had to pay tax to a foreigner. But that was not his mission. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus did not change the politics of his day. So stop trying to condemn the church. Well, if this gospel is the true gospel we're preaching, the industries in Nigeria would have been the best industries. There will be better industries, better economy. Jews, in the day they lived in, the best industries were still out of Israel. Amen. Hello. They were still outside of Israel. That's not the focus. So stop trying to beat down the church and bring up all these things that people, those are demonic thoughts planted in the heart of Christians. Now preachers are also saying it. Jesus walked the face of the earth. People were still sick. People were sick. Were they not doing burials when Jesus was there? Jesus didn't heal everybody. No, he didn't.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get the picture here?
Yes,
yeah. So please stop that narrative. Build your faith. Touch other lives. Leave the rest for God.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me? Leave the rest for God. Don't go and carry a burden that nobody gave you. Nigeria must be a great country. Who told you God wants it to be a great country? Did God tell you He wants it to be a great country? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
God, did God tell you? Countries, most of the countries were formed by men. This country, maybe we're not supposed to be here. One guy just thought of business interests, Lord Lugard. So join this guy. Come, join him with this guy.
Voila, we had a country. Niger area. Nigeria.
We'll do the best we can do. Amen. But don't put it on God. Maybe He was not aware. Hallelujah. Amen. But now, because this group of people, there are a lot of Christians within the group that are publishing the gospel around the world, God will be interested in sustaining it. But not because the formation was of God. It's not every formation of men that God's hand was involved. There are some things that God was not involved, but God will allow it. Is this bless someone? Rise to your feet. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Pray in tongues for a minute or two. Koshimene moshile brondo celebrondo brigadieros. La patana makoshile brondo bagadiros brigadieros. Zemende ke pratona makato pledos ke pleduro brigadieros. Japatana makato maros ke pledu bradia talabaya. Zemende ke pratona makatia telegadia telegadieros. Roba katoma sile brondo bragadia talabaros brigadieros. Zemende ke plato celebrato salabario brigadieros. Zana nana katoma lo brigadio 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 brigadieros. Zapato saplando copreto celebrodo bagadiroso. Zemende ke plato celebrato palia brigadia tolo brigadiados. Zemende ke pratona maraca pandele bo brigados brigadiados. Zemengo bredos ke plerira bahata vayaraska. Jupreto salabahada barados ke pleriros brigadiata. In Jesus' name. Before we close, and we receive the offerings and close, I want to ask for, most of the time we are gathered like this, a lot of us are believers and all of that. But you might have someone in our midst that has not received the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. You're born again, but you've never received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand where you are. You've not received the Holy Ghost. You're born again, but you've not received the Holy Ghost. Wave at me. There's some. I want to know. If there are not so many, then I know I could delegate it. Amen. I'm not seeing any hand. Okay, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Eh? Lift your hand. So let's see those that are not lifting their hand. Yeah. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You pray in tongues. Lift your hand. So please look around you. Whose hand is not lifted? Amen. Do like this to the person. So that means if you didn't lift your hand, put your hand down. That means you are not even born again. So let's start from the beginning. Bow your heads. If you are here, you've not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. This doctrine of Christ I'm talking about, you know, follow. The way you can be part of what we're talking about is by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the midst of this crowd, God is dealing with you personally, individually. Are you with me? So if your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, you want me to pray the prayer of salvation with you, you want to make a decision to follow Jesus from today, lift your right hand where you are. I'll pray with you from where you are. If I see that hand up, I'll pray with you. Lift it. Let me see it. Make sure I can see the hand. Make sure I can see the hand. Lift it above your head. Amen. Now pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you died for my sins. I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive eternal life into my heart. From this moment, I am born again. All things pass away. All things become new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please, you can reach us via WhatsApp on 090-849-90878. You can also send us a message on info@faith2faithonline.org. For more messages, log on to our 24-hour radio platform at www.faith2faithradio.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a life-transforming experience at Plot 5, Sania Bachelor Road, GRA Phase 3, Port Harcourt. First service, 8:30 a.m. and second service, 10:30 a.m. Renaissance Assembly, the church of the moment and the church of the future. God bless you. Locally and globally, come to the